Society Podcast.
Hey, what's up? It's the Zisu back again, coming to you live from the forest moon of Endor. What's up? This is E-Society Podcast. We talk TV, movies, comics, collecting, sports, and everything entertainment. This is episode 132. Today we'll be talking about TV, including Pen 15, Losers, and my final weekly Masked Singer update. Movies including Greta and a Captain Marvel check-in. And as always, the week in sports, the week in Funko and collecting, weekly Star Wars moment, and our weekly random movie and song recommendations. But before I go any further, he's on the road to the Emerald City. It's the Nez!
Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're back in the truck on our way up to Emerald City Comic Con 2019. If you guys hear this before you go, look for us. We'll be there. And yeah, we're going to have to hand this back and forth because we're going through Endor right now and the roads are pretty windy and I don't want to run into any biker scouts or Ewoks in them. So the Zisu will kick us all off.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, and he's not lying. This is, we're just north of Crescent City right now, one of the two filming locations for Return of the Jedi, all the Endor scenes. So yeah, love to do photography around here, but let's just get right into the show. We'll kick it off with TV. Yeah, keep on. We're going to kick it off with TV. New show, Pen 15. This is a Hulu show. Normally I stumble onto things. This one came from two recommendations. One from my guys I normally listen to on The Watch. And I didn't really hear them talk about it, but they just talked about, like, the buzz around it. And, you know, it's a show of noteworthy. So it was on my radar there. But what really got me to check it out was one of our guys, the Impractical Joker, Sal Volcano, he made a post about it, and he was raving about, oh, this is the funniest show ever, and this is amazing, this is incredible, and I was like, okay, well, you know, two recommendations is a charm, let me check this out. Have you even heard about the show, Pen 15, the Hulu show?
I've seen it, the thumbnail, but I haven't clicked on it.
Okay, yeah. I had no idea what this was going into it. It was just off of those recommendations. I was like, let me check this out. So, basically, this is described. I have a screenshot of it, luckily, because I don't know how good our net coverage is out here on Endor. It's described as the comedic story of middle school seen through the eyes of two seventh grade girls dealing with the awkwardness of being a teenager. And yeah, that's pretty much the premise. The twist on it, though, is the two people that it's their story, the two ladies it's their story, they're in their 30s now. This is of when they were supposed to be in middle school around the year 2000. And they are playing basically themselves. So they're 32-year-olds, or however they are, 32, 33-year-olds, playing middle schoolers. And I do gotta say, the way they, like, made themselves up with the hair and stuff, it kind of works. The more you watch it, you can tell these girls are older. But in a way, it works for the show. I saw some commentary afterwards on IMDb. It definitely rubbed some people the wrong way. They're like, oh my god, this is child abuse, and how can you do this in this day and age? Like, this is wrong and stuff like that. And then you've got people defending it and saying, like, of course, like, anytime there's, like, kids, like, kissing on the show or anything like that, it's like body doubles. You can tell they use camera maneuvers and things like that. But anyways, overall, I'd say it's worth checking out, just in that it's an interesting voice. It's a different show. The people that are the producers behind it, it's Andy Samberg and his Lonely Island guys. And then Bob Odenkirk, Saul Goodman, for those of you that are familiar with his work. So they are the ones behind this. So that kind of made me interested afterward. But it's definitely a different kind of show. It has a little bit of a Freaks and Geeks vibe to it. But, you know, just awkward coming of age, you know, teen tales and things like that. Some of it is like funny specific to the era. I'm a little older, you know, it wasn't my era exactly. I was already by 2000, I was already, you know, 3 years out of high school, so yeah. The stories, the generation set, you know, way before me as far as relating exactly to it. But, you know, I got, you know, some of it. There's this episode of the deals with AOL Instant Messenger and, like, what that was like and the dial-up internet and things like that. So, I don't know. If you're interested in that kind of stuff and nostalgic for that era, I'd say check it out. It's, you know, cool for what it is. And you could definitely feel, like, the personal stories coming through for these girls. And after seeing it, I told Jade about it, and I recommended to her, and I sent her Sal's post, and I, after watching the series, I decided to just watch it. It's a 10-episode thing. It's half hour, so it was like 5 hours to knock out the whole series. Because I feel like these days, if I don't finish a series, I'll let it sit on my list, and I, like, never go back to it. There's so many shows that's just sitting on the list that, like, I just never go back to. I should go back to it. I should go back to it. So I felt like I should just knock the show out. And but, yeah, going back to Sal's post, he's hoping they make more. Like, if they made another season, they could do, like, their high school years and another season their college years, things like that. So I don't know if I'm selling to you or I made you interested or not, but maybe the fact Sal was so interested in he it's insane how much he loved it, but it almost made me wonder if he knew somebody behind the production of it. But I don't know. Do you think you'd check the show out? It's on Hulu?
Probably. You have to remind me because I got so much shit that I watch. So.
Right.
Definitely remind me again.
Yeah, I will. Show you a picture here. I'm zoomed in. See if you think. Well, one, we're in the clear here. This is in the truck edition. This is like windy curves. Like every minute, we're left turn, right turn, left turn, right turn.
What am I looking at?
Can you tell that those girls are like in their 30s?
I can't. I can't, dude. I can't see good.
No problem.
You're holding it too close to me. Let me see it. Yeah, yeah. They look old. Why?
Yeah. Is there a problem? They're playing middle schoolers.
Oh, okay.
That's like the shtick of it. So, but I really did like it for what it was. I'm glad I watched the whole thing. And like I said, it was 10 episodes, half hour each. Knock it out in 5 hours. It was an easy watch over a couple days. So, yeah, that was Pen 15. Definitely check it out. I'm definitely interested to hear what Nez thinks, because I think it has some of the humor you might appreciate, too. Did you ever watch that Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, it was all right. Everyone was hyping it up, so I gave it a shot and only got, like, maybe half of the first season. Now, I knew everybody was in it. It was cool to see them all because they're all young, but, I mean, it was all right.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was such a launching pad for all those people. James Franco. What's that guy?
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Seth Rogen. But no, the one that he's in The Muppets and Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You know that guy?
Oh,
it was the launching pad for him, too. The one Martin Starr guy with the glasses. Linda Cardellini. What's that one girl? She's got the show now on E! Busy Phillips.
That's right, she was in that.
Yeah, she's in that. It was a launching pad for all these kids. So that was cool. And it was like, for me, it was a generation right before me. It was the late 70s they were getting at, right?
I think so. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was late 70s, so I appreciated it for what it was. But yeah, this kind of has that vibe, but with a 2000s twist. And, you know, they go over the top sometimes with the awkward stuff, you know, things like of that nature. I won't spoil anything, but anyways. So yeah, that was Pen 15. You want to jump into your next thing? Okay. Since we're in major turn zone right now, I'm going to keep it rolling with my final Masked Singer weekly update. The show looked like it did real well, and I'll start at the end. It sounded like the way that they ended the show, it sounded like that they were thinking they were going to be back sooner rather than later, like maybe even this year for a season two. So usually that's how these singing shows go. I know for Voice, I don't know how long Voice has been around, but I know they've got, there's something, it's nuts. Like they're in like season 37 already of The Voice. So I know like they tear through it. They do like a summer season and then like a winter season, things like that. So we'll see if they end up doing that with Masked Singer, but it looked like it was a hit. I really liked it for what it was. If you've been listening to the pod, you know I was kind of a curiosity checking it out at first, but then just got so into it, and really wasn't even about the singing. It was more about the guessing who it was, and came across this article on The Ringer after it stopped airing, and they were saying like, they nailed like what drew me to it. They're like, the Masked Singer should be everything. The Masked Singer should be dating shows. It should be cooking shows. It should be everything. The Masked Singer should be everything. It should be like, you need to guess like who's cooking, who's this, who's that. Like it brought such an element of that. That being said, if you've listened to our past pods, you know the Nez did a little research and looked up who it was projected, who each character was, and I gotta say, in the end, as far as that went, there actually was no surprises. It pretty much fell in line. The final three was the bee, the peacock, and the monster. And first, shockingly, the bee was eliminated, which I was really surprised. I thought she would be, if not the winner, one of the final two. But the bee was the first to be eliminated, and indeed, it was Gladys Knight. So, and she was awesome, and it actually made me, last time we recorded this, we were driving around Reno, and she's coming to Reno to perform. It made me want to see her perform. She's awesome. She was amazing what she did on that show, so. That was cool to see. And then it came down to the peacock or the monster. And right when I got back from my Reno trip, I was talking to my moms, and she's like, oh, you watch that Masked Singer? And I was like, yeah, I watch it. I haven't watched the finale yet. And she's like, oh, can you believe the peacock was Donny Osmond? And I was like, thanks, moms. Like, cool. Great. And I was like, I was actually happy the like, because I was disappointed she told me about, but then I was like okay, here we go, he's gonna win, because that's all she told me, like, oh, the peacock was Donny Osmond. And then it came down to the peacock and the monster, and actually the monster did win, and I was hyped. I was like, yes, the monster. And it did help that I thought that my moms had spoiled the fact that peacock won, and yes, it was Donny Osmond, so they had him do an outro performance. Every time the person was in mask at the end of the episode, they had him like perform as the episode ended. But since this was a triple unmasking finale, they had Gladys Knight perform. And then, you know, when the commercial came back, and then they crowned Monster the winner, which meant that first peacock unmasked, and then they had him perform, and then went commercial. They finally came back, and they had the judges, I guess, one last time who they thought it was, and they were completely off. Nobody was even close. Not one person guessed, not only that week, but throughout the whole competition. So that was kind of cool about who the monster was. And I gotta say, if you didn't watch the show, maybe even just check out some clips, it really is impressive. One of the things he kept saying throughout the competition about his hint was how he was a hit at first, but then people really turned on him and didn't like him. And I actually did guess it right, that it was T-Pain. The monster was T-Pain. And it actually did make a lot of sense to me, because that was my guess. You can actually listen to it a few episodes back where we were talking. And I said that the only person I can think of that people turned against is T-Pain, because it was auto-tune. And everybody turned against auto-tune.
Well, they turned against Donny Osmond as well, because he was big when he was a kid, and then like stuff with the Osmonds, his brothers, and then he did stuff with his sister, and then he kind of just, their time went and passed, and then they kind of just, nobody gave a shit about him anymore. And then all of a sudden, I would say it was sometime in the 80s, there was he came back with a single, but nobody knew who it was because he went on some radio station. I guess his friend was the DJ, and they played the song, and everybody was requesting it. Going, oh, that song was awesome. The song was awesome. Who is it? He wouldn't tell anybody, and then eventually they finally did, and then everyone, it kind of brought, I mean, Donny Osmond never really left the spotlight. I mean, people from my generation as well as before, they all knew who he was, but then it just kind of disappeared. But then anyway, he came back in the 80s with that. I don't remember the name of the song. If you go and look it up, you'll find it. But nobody knew who it was. I didn't really think it was that big of a song. I mean, I didn't care for it. But and then when they came out to everybody that it was a Donny Osmond song, everybody was like, "What?" And then he kind of came back out, and then I know he did a lot of it. He did that run in Vegas with him and his sister.
He's still doing it.
I guess they're still down there in Vegas. And then he just popped up here and there, and he pops up everywhere. And it's good to still see that he's out there doing it. I mean, he never really left show business. He popped up on shows here and there, a lot of talk shows. And my introduction to Donny Osmond was in the 70s. We used to watch his variety show, him and his sister, Donny and Marie show. I really love that. So, I mean, I knew who Donny was. His sister, Marie, she got a little too preachy for some shit she was doing. And then she disappeared for a while. And I know she got on one of those weight loss things and then lost hella weight and then came back with a vengeance. So she's still down in Vegas, I guess, doing her thing. And yeah. I can appreciate who they are. I don't know if they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but because Marie was a little bit country and Donny was more rock and roll. So, I mean, I can agree with that totally. But Donny Osmond, yeah, I could say he was probably in his 20s, maybe late teens when I remember. I guess they were probably in their 20s when they did the variety show. I don't remember. You guys do the math. I don't remember. I know there's clips of it on YouTube. The only show that I remember clearly was after the Star Wars deal. Star Wars came out. They had a little sketch. The Osmond brothers were all stormtroopers, and Donnie and Marie were Luke and Leia. And I can't remember. I'm sure you can find that clip on YouTube somewhere. But that's all I remember. I mean, it's because, you know, both of us are huge Star Wars fans. So that was the only Donnie Marie's part I remember it. I know I was watching some Star Wars documentary, and they showed it really fast because they were just showing that in the 70s how big Star Wars was, and that was always one of the clips they showed. But good to see Donnie still out there doing his thing, and if you hear this, brother, man, party on.
Yeah, I gotta say, he really... I was actually surprised when he didn't win, especially with the spoiler for my mom's, but he did. You could tell, obviously, with his stage presence and the way he could move his arms and point at the crowd, you could tell he's a, you know, he's seasoned and he knew what he did. The interesting clip he dropped once he was unmasked and he was talking to the singers was he was saying how, like, this is the most fun I've had in so long. He's like, this is the funnest thing. He's like, I'd love to do it again. This is how much, like, I loved doing this. He's like, and I want you guys to know, he's like, between doing this show, and they showed multiple times the process of how they did it. Like, they really, really were sneaky with, like, the people, like, sneaking them in. There were only certain people they could know, and they'd, like hood them up and stuff like that, and hoodies and... that said, like, don't talk to me and things like that before they were costumed, even things like that, you know. So, but he was saying, like, in between the weeks of performing on Masked Singer, he would fly back out to Vegas to perform and stuff. So, yeah, he kept his whole thing rolling. One of the final guesses for him, I think Jenny McCarthy guessed her husband, Donnie Wahlberg, because she said every time that, like, he's on stage, he wouldn't answer her phone or text. So that was, like, her guess of who it was. So that was funny. But, yeah, man, this show's... It was fun, and it was less, to me, it was less about the singing but more about like the mystery of who it was, and it was fun to see who it was. If I can remember, just for the fun of it, who it was. Antonio Brown, Cheech Marin, Terry Bradshaw, Ricky Lake, Rumor Willis, Gladys Knight, T-Pain, Donny Osmond.
Chong, wasn't he?
Huh?
Tommy Chong?
Yeah, Tommy Chong.
Cheech and Chong were both on there?
No, just Tommy Chong. I said Cheech Marin, didn't I?
Yeah.
It was just Tommy Chong. And Joey Fatone. I think that's everybody, so... Probably forgetting somebody, but... Yeah, it was fun to guess, so... Hopefully they'll do another season. Hopefully they come back soon. I have a feeling it did really well with the ratings for them. So, yeah, that was a Masked Singer, and that'll be my last Masked Singer update until they return. So that's all I got on TV. I don't know if you want to knock out.
Yeah, I'll do what I can. Man, these roads are really windy. I'm going to try to set up something. So don't mind the shuffling and everything. Really quick. This isn't a show that I watch all the time, but I was at my friend's house and I got fucking sucked into it. The Bachelor, it's on ABC. She's also got me into, I think it was Beverly Hills Housewives. I think, yeah, it was Beverly Hills. I kind of like that show. I know there's like a million different Housewives shows, but Beverly Hills one, I knew some of the gals on that before. Some of them I didn't even know who they were. I know, Kyle Richards, Perseus's wife, the one with the crazy lips. Fuck. I can't remember. You guys would know. I think it was like Lisa Rinna or something like that. I can't remember. But anyway,
before you get into it, the question I have—I had no idea you were going to talk about this. Was the finale like a horror episode? Because I almost sent you this news article that said the Bachelor finale was more like a horror movie. And I was like, really?
I didn't see the last episode.
Oh, okay.
I saw the episode before the last one.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm sure it wasn't, but it was just a funny thing. They're like, the Bachelor turns into a horror movie.
Nah.
I was like, really?
Well, the it came down to the final three. I couldn't tell you this dude's name. And I couldn't tell you the chicks' names. The first girl, he was basically going to... the girl that he picked, from what I understand, left the show. She, like, dumped him. And I don't want any part of this. I'm out. And rolled. And that was the one that he, I guess, fell in love with. But because he told those three of them. So the other two, I guess they had them separated in their own little... bungalows or wherever the fuck. I know they're somewhere down south. They're not in America. They're some island. I don't know where. But the first one he went to was this black chick. I want to say her name was Trisha or something like that. I can't remember her name. But I thought she was really pretty, and she seemed really cool. I know they gotta at least be doing some kind of acting to be on this show.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because, man, this guy was like pouring on the tears. Like, he just didn't. He was like, because when they were talking, they were like, can we talk off camera? This is where I think the show is bullshit. They had their mics on them still. So they went into this other, back into that girl's room, and then, they started talking, basically telling you, yeah, I'm in love with so-and-so, and you got to get lost. So while they were doing that, he just all of a sudden started crying, like, really hard. And she was, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And no, I knew, but she was just trying to console this fool. And I was like, really? I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, we've been through sad times and heartbreak. I'm sure everyone has, but come on. And then, just because they weren't on camera, that's why I know the show was kind of bullshit. Because
sure. They
would have said, you know what, I want to take these mics off too, because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I think there's something in their little contract that they signed that everything needs to be filmed and you need to be mic'd at all times. That's just what I think. I don't know the official rules of the whole thing, but I was like, oh, okay, really? But So he left her, and then he went to go see the other girl. And this, the second to the last girl, oh man, I don't know her name, but she was some white girl. Man, that girl was ugly. And she's, she was fucking like a, she looked like a little girl. She looked like she was 16. And she was like a rail. That's just not, that's not my style, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't know. I didn't like her. She just had this bitchy look on her face and didn't, I don't know. She just didn't seem, but he was, when he told her, yeah, I'm not picking you. He seemed like he was trying to force the tears out with her. They didn't go hide or anything. They just kind of just went, all right, whatever. And she acted like she didn't give a shit either. She let out a tear or two, but I think he liked the black girl more because he like really poured it on with her, and he was all shaky. And this guy was tall, and the black girl was short. Because when he was hugging her, I assume their mics were on their chest, and she. Her mic must have been right on his heart, because you can hear the doo-doo-doo-doo. His heart was beating hella fast. Yeah. Again, it could just be for the
effects.
For the show, effects, but yeah. I was like, oh, come on. But so he told them to no, and that was it. The second to the last show was 2 hours, and I was like, fuck, man, that was like 2 hours of bullshit. But I don't watch these shows. I only watched it because she was watching. Because this is the finale. I gotta watch it. And then it got to the end, and because they were saying, well, we don't have any more girls because the so and so, I can't remember her name, she left. So we don't know where to go. But the guy, the bachelor dude, was like, no, fuck that. I mean, I'm gonna go fight for her. I'm gonna go look for her. So I assume that's what the last episode was. I don't know what happened, because I didn't see what happened. And I was just like, okay. I mean, it was kind of interesting, but these shows, these dudes do not play it right. That's why I think it's pretty much scripted.
Oh, yeah.
If any of you bachelors are out there, that feel, hey, man, you're a good-looking guy. I tried to get one of my friends to do it, but he wasn't going for it. Because he was what they were looking for. He was tall. He was blonde, blue eyes, good-looking guy, surfer body. I was like, dude, man, you're the right age. Just go on that show fucking. Sorry, gals, if I'm going to sound like a sexist pig, but just go in there, rail all of them, and then just pick one at the end. He was like, no, I can't do that. I mean, fuck, that's what these guys did. Well, this dude didn't, because I guess his shtick was he was a virgin. So, and
he was an ex-NFL player too, right?
I don't know what the fuck this guy was, but I don't know how they pick these. I mean, you got to have some kind, at least somewhat of an interesting story before they pick you. And plus, you got to have the look that they're looking for. They're not going to have some average Joe on the show. And have all these ladies go nuts for them. So, but and the other thing I think is stupid. I don't know how long they're out wherever they're at when they film these things. But I'm like, he's already talking about, oh, I'm in love. You fucking only knew these gals, or even the bachelorette. I mean, you only know these chicks or these dudes. Let's just say 2 months. I don't know how long they're really out. I'm just saying 2 months. And like, fuck, you're gonna fall in love with someone that quick? I know there is people out there that fall in love instantly, but come on. I'm like, really? But I'm like, anyway, that's just me, everyone. I didn't fall in love with my wife fucking the next day or some shit. I mean, it took a while. And but I'm like, fuck. I mean, that's just me, everyone. And the show, I was like, all right, whatever. But I don't know if he ended up with the girl that, because she just, the last girl, the one that he wanted, just left. I said, fuck it, I'm out. What does that article say? Did he hook up with her? Because the way it ended was like, it was all serious music and everything. Yeah. He's like, no, fuck this, I'm going to go fight, and I'm going to try to win her heart, because he was in love with this chick. Does it say if she went to him or what?
No, it doesn't. And that's the thing. I almost sent you this, and I was like, nah, he doesn't care about this. Why am I going to send this to him? But I screenshotted it, and it basically just says, the Bachelor finale, Hunt for Colton, was basically a horror movie. The first part of last night's Bachelor finale was some of the scariest stuff the show has ever given us. Assuming that by scary you mean literal horror movie tropes. So, yeah, but I know Nez is on another level when it comes to horror movie tropes, so I don't know if he would ever come close to saying it was horror, but you know how certain people are where they're like, you know, aliens is horror?
No. But if, do you know if that show is streaming on Hulu?
Or I think so.
All right, well, when we get to our first destination tonight, I'm going to see if it's on Hulu or one of them things and watch it, and then I'll come back next I'll come on an Anchor and
yeah.
So to get you guys to listen to the Anchor show, for those of you that really get that care about The Bachelor, I mean, like, again, I don't watch this show. I was at my friend's house and she was watching it, and I was kind of like, this is bullshit, and I got sucked into it. So
was she like, oh my god, this is scary?
No, she didn't. I don't know, I didn't see the second one.
Oh,
or okay. the final episode,
right?
Because the episode I saw was just him dumping those other two girls. I don't know, Colton, if you're listening, dude, you should have chose the black girl, because that chick was hot. And but anyway, that was the Bachelor of the episode that I saw. And I don't know about. I mean, I know these. I don't know if the whole world watches them. I know there's like international bachelors and all that on other sides of the world, but I don't know, man. I get what the ABC the guys that are putting the show on, and they're getting I don't know who their audience is. I'm sure teenagers watch this shit too.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. I can't get into these type of shows. The only times I got into shows like this was Rock of Love or Flavor of Love or I Love New York and I Love Daisy, all that bullshit that was on VH1. Bret Michaels was one. Flavor Flav. A girl from New York. I can't remember her name. I think her name was Tiffany something. She was a bitch, and she was one of the ones that didn't win. I know she was one of the final two. She didn't win Flavor of Love. He chose this other girl that just didn't give a shit about him at all. But anyway,
that was the Bret Michaels one.
The girl he picked, I thought she was cute. I remember she had pink hair, but I think she only went with him for a little while and then kicked him to the curb. But one of the girls that was on that, there was this girl named Daisy De La Hoya. Man, she was hot, but she was dumb as a bag of rocks. And I met her once at Comic-Con. She was at the Lost Boys 2 premiere. And I remember walking outside after the movie was over, and I just took it that nobody knew who she was.
Right.
Because she was standing there with, I don't know, somebody else. And I walked up. I went, whoa, Daisy, how you doing? She was like, hey. And got a picture with her. She was cool, but she was hot and everything, but she just seemed stupid. But this was all what I got from the show. So, I mean, I watched those mainly because I was a Poison fan and I'm a Public Enemy fan. And then when Daisy had her show in New York, I tried to watch that show. I just hated that girl in New York. She just got on my nerves. She thought she was hella fine and all that, and she was a fucking bitch, man. I did not like her. But I don't remember who won those ones, but yeah, those shows, man, I can't get into them. I mean, I know the world. I mean, there's a huge worldwide audience for it, because I'm sure international people, for those of you that are over on the other side of the world listening to me bitch about this, I'm sure you watch whatever's over there, and I'm sure you watch the American one. But I don't know, man. These shows to me are just stupid. But it wasn't my house and it wasn't my TV, so I didn't have control of it. But god damn it, man, that shit I got sucked in after just a couple minutes.
Exactly.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, I'll watch the. I do want to see the end, because I don't know what happened, but it was just. I was
now
like,
we want to hear your take on if it was a horror movie or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch it tonight and I'll get back with you guys. You're gonna have to listen to Anchor if you want to hear that one. But oh man, yeah. Another show that I got into was I was just kind of flipping around looking for stuff to watch. I don't know when this series came out. I know it came out. It was either end of last year or the beginning of this year. I don't remember, but. It's a Netflix original documentary series called Losers. I think there's like 6 or 7 episodes. They're not very long. I know one's a little over a half hour long. The other ones are like in the 20, almost 30 minutes. The one I watched was about this boxer. I cannot remember his name. For you boxing fans, it was the guy that beat down Tommy Morrison the first time. When Tommy Morrison finally lost when he was big.
Yeah.
This was kind of a sad story. But with a happy ending. This is the only one I watched. I didn't watch any of the other ones. But if you boxing fans know who this guy is, you know. I can't remember his name. I want to say his last name was either Brent or Bent or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, he was a boxer and he grew up in New York. And I want to think it was Jamaica. Yeah, Jamaica, Queens is where he grew up. And his dad wanted him to box and just... Basically, he didn't say that his dad beat him, but it was just like his dad was living through his son. Like, I guess his dad always wanted to be a boxer, and I guess his dad was straight from Jamaica, because when he was talking like his dad, he threw in the Jamaican accent. But he said it was just tough living there. He just wanted to just be a kid and do other things, but his dad just... forced him into the boxing life. So he did that. He trained. And he started having fights. And he was all right, man. He was doing good. But his heart wasn't in it. But he tried to do it just to make his dad happy or have his dad be proud of him. And to me, it didn't seem like his dad was proud of him at all. I mean, because when he started winning, his dad was always there. But it made it seem like his dad, it wasn't good enough. And, I mean, you could see why this guy was doing it. He got the shit beat out of him. And he didn't get, like, beat up, but through time, getting punched and punched, man, it's going to take its toll on you.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, so he got big, and he was winning his fights, and then he got the big one with Tommy Morrison, and he beat him, and then I think he won the belt and then lost it on his next fight. And then he was kind of thinking that that was it. So he basically retired, and he was like, fuck, what am I going to do? So he was like, you know what? He also liked writing, so he started writing. And then one of these boxing guys, I can't remember his name, and he told him, he was like, hey, man, why don't you come write for me? And he's like, okay. So that's how he started doing that. He was helping him write stuff for this boxing magazine, and then... next thing you know, he was like, he moved to LA, and then they were saying, hey man, we need some writers for this. So he started writing. I want to say he started writing for TV, and then he started writing for movies, but he was still kind of training boxing. I mean, mainly more for just to stay in shape. So, and then once he started doing that, people were like, we need someone to help us train so and so for this movie. And he ended up being one of the trainers, boxing trainers for. What's her nuts? $1 Million Baby. Hilary Swank.
Oh, right.
Because Clint Eastwood hired him, and then he started doing stuff like that. People were hiring him to be boxing consultant. He was a boxing consultant for the Ali film. I never seen that, did you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was a boxing consultant for that. He was actually in it, too. I can't remember who he played, but they showed him.
Ringside or something?
No, he was one of the boxers fighting Ali. Yeah, so... I cannot remember this guy's name. Like, we're doing it in the truck, so all this is coming from out of my mind that I remember. But it was good. I mean, so it ended on a good note. He started working and doing stuff in Hollywood and all that. So it was good that he just didn't. I was kind of thinking that it was going to be one of those sad stories where he was just rock bottom and now I'm just living on the streets or anything. But no, I mean, this guy... I think the writing is what saved him. I mean, and then he just got caught up into other things, writing for this and that. And then once they started helping him being a boxing consultant for movies, I mean, that was cool. So, this guy's he's living his life good now. And it seems like, at the beginning of the documentary, you see he's like, he's like kind of just sad. And by the end, he's all happy and everything. So I thought it was really good. I didn't watch any of the other, episodes. I'm going to go back and finish those, but. I just clicked on the first one. I mean, I'm not a boxing fan, but I can appreciate I usually, when I go on YouTube, I usually watch knockouts and shit like that. But I mean, I did watch a lot of the Tyson stuff. I grew up watching Muhammad Ali and all the George Foreman and Larry Holmes and Hagler and all those guys and Cooney, watching all that stuff that my dad would watch. And then Tyson came along, and then Sugar Ray and all them. And then I kind of just fell out of boxing. I really didn't know who anyone was. I did watch Tommy Morrison. The only reason I watched that is because of, he had his role in Rocky V. So, but man, I watched it from time to time. I mean, there was one dude I thought was funny because he was real arrogant. That Prince Nassim or whatever. But he started to get his ass beat at the end. I don't even know if he boxes anymore. But I do go on and watch knockouts on YouTube. If you guys just want to watch those, yeah, go on YouTube. There was this one dude. It was going between MMA and not this boxer, but it was just different clips. There was I think it was called When Showboating Goes Wrong or some shit something shit like that. It was some MMA guy from India. They were in Dubai. I know that he was part of the Dubai Playboys or some shit. All right, well, we left California. Now we're in Oregon. But anyway, I guess this guy was a rapper. I can't remember his name because he rapped and he just designed his own clothes and shit like that. And he just thought he was the shit. He came into the ring and he was dancing and all that. Had all his crew and all these girls thinking he was Raw. He walked up on the dude he was gonna fight and like dogged him. And then he goes in his ring and is all ready. And the all right, fighter's ready. He comes running in and that dude, his opponent just clocked him in the jaw. One time he goes down and just gets beat.
Oh man!
I was like, "Fuck!" I mean, those are the videos that I like to watch because they're fucking hilarious. And there was another dude, I can't remember his name. He came in too, dancing to some Fergie song, and he just a little skinny dude. Thought he was all Raw dancing, and he got clocked. And when he got clocked, he like fell. He went a few rounds, but when he got clocked, did you just see his head go? And he just fucking basically falls out of the ring. It's crazy, man. But yeah, back to Netflix. The show is called Losers. I only watched the first episode. I'll probably watch the other ones eventually. But it was a real good documentary. I think that episode that I watched was, I know it was less than 30 minutes. So I don't want to say it was like 25 or 26 minutes, something like that. I mean, it went by pretty quick. But it was really interesting. I liked that guy. I didn't know the boxers, but when it came to the part where he was the guy that defeated Tommy Morrison, I was like, oh, okay, I remember this guy. So, and that's just the little boxing that I know. I don't really know who's on top now. I mean, after Tyson, after his fall, I just kind of gave up. I didn't give up on boxing. I just don't know who anybody is. But any of you boxers are out there, man, I mean, I'll give it to you, man. You guys are the real deal, man. You guys are fucking tough. I don't think I could do it. I'll probably just get beat up. Even in my young days, man, I got into a lot of fights and everything, but I don't think I ever had the discipline to do boxing. I don't know. That's just me. I mean, I was more just a street fighter. I'm not bragging or anything, but man, yeah, when you grow up as a kid, I mean, you're gonna get into fights. So, but yeah, I mean, that was a show I watched, Losers and Bachelor. I don't think I watched anything else other than my regular sitcom shows, Big Bang and Young Sheldon. I think Big Bang is coming. I know this is the final season, and man, it's still funny for what it is. Plus, man, you can flip to any channel right now, and there's always one Big Bang, one of these TV networks. I know there's like three or four of them that are running all the reruns, so I mean, you can catch it anywhere. But Young Sheldon, I don't think they're... That has a what do they call it when they
syndication?
Yeah, I don't think it's syndicated yet.
Yeah, usually takes 100 episodes, but I think they bumped that down now. I think it might only be like 60, 75, something like
that. I don't know how many episodes there is a season, but yeah. They're just about almost done with season two. But going back to Netflix really quick, there's trailers for the third season for Santa Clarita Diet. I haven't watched it yet, but the way that the second season ended, I can't wait because it was fucking hilarious. And I love the hijinks between Timothy Olyphant and Drew Barrymore. So that'll be cool when that comes back on. I believe it comes on, if it's not the end of this month, at the beginning of next month. But also coming is On My Block Season 2. If you guys watch that one, the end, I won't tell you what happened at the end of season one, but damn. I think the trailer ruined it.
Oh, so you better watch it.
Because something happened, and I was like, I mean, I won't get into it. I'll wait to see it too. But I was kind of like, oh, man. So, I mean, something happened to somebody, and then when the trailer was rolling, you see the guy that something happened to, and I'm like, oh, so, but. Well, I knew it wasn't anything bad was going to happen, but the way season one ended,
right. I made you think.
Yeah, but it was a really good show. That happened to be one of the shows that I was just looking for stuff to talk about, and I just clicked on it, and I got hooked after that first episode and zipped through the first season. They're only half-hour episodes, so you can get through them pretty quick. I'm going to go through season one again just to get a refresher because I really did love it. It was an awesome show, and season two is about to start anytime now. If it's not the end of this month, also sometime next month, but I can't wait for that. But as far as that, before we leave, are you done with TV?
I just remembered a couple small things.
All right, I'm gonna hand it back over.
Okay. Yeah, remembered a couple small things. One thing I forgot to mention during Pen 15, I sent you that little clip of drumming. Did you happen to see that, or did that not, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder if videos come through.
Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, that was a Pen 15 clip. It was hard to, like, give it to you without the context. So I was like, well, I don't know. You like drumming, so. I don't know. That was funny to me, though, because she was supposed to be drumming with the band. And then just, like, lets loose. drumming. So. Anyways, the other thing that I was reminded of when you were talking about The Bachelor was one of those guilty pleasure type shows I stumbled onto. Been out forever. It's just one of those things I never watched until we talked about a couple weeks ago, that Catfish. And since I started watching that, I found it's definitely a good show to have on the background when you're like not looking at the TV at all. You're just listening in, you're cleaning something, whatever you're doing. So when I did that initial watch through, it was just all the stuff that was available on demand through Dish. So it was all more recent episodes. And I've since found that they have pretty much all the seasons on Hulu. So I went back to look at what season one was like. And it's interesting how much the show has changed. I guess they've done like 7 or 8 years of this. Like, it's been going since like 2011, 2012, something like that. So it's been going a while. It's just something I never paid attention till now. But one thing I noticed is comparatively how they changed over the seasons. In the newer episodes, the person that's like guilty of catfishing, the filmmakers like come down on them like, don't you know what you're doing is wrong? And like, how dare you? And you're ruining this person's life. Early on in the show, those first season episodes, they more tried to understand the person, and they were like, oh, so you did this? Like, oh, you're struggling? Oh, you were bullied? Like, they were more sympathetic toward the other side. And as it's gone on, they're more just like, how dare you do this to somebody's life? This is wrong. It's interesting to see how they've changed over the years. I know you're probably aware of the show since it began, right?
I remember hearing about it when the movie came out, and then
yeah, I just saw the movie.
I didn't watch the show until I found out about it. But again, if you guys heard my rant about it before, you guys are fucking stupid if you fall for any of this shit. And if you do, if you're the one that gets catfished, then you fucking deserve it. Don't be a fucking idiot. I mean, just and those of you that are the catfisher, come on, man, get a life, man. Why you're fucking somebody up? But hey, man, if you guys didn't do what you guys were doing, there would be no show. So As far as the creators of it, hey man, right on. You guys got a show and makes everyone watch it. But,
yeah, whatever. That's the funny thing too, because in those early episodes, the intro, they were. In the early episodes, the intro, they were talking about. It would look like it was like cut footage from the movie. I only saw the movie the first time. I was kind of curious because I was like, "What is it? Like, what's going on?" Like, it was almost like one of those curiosities. I was almost wondering if the catfish thing was going to turn into like a horror movie. Like, I didn't know when I first saw that film if it was like real or not. You start to wonder, but. During their season one, the intro to the show, they're like, people are contacting me, like, we should just look into all of this and make it a show. So, yeah, it sure has worked out for them. I know recently, one of the guys involved with it, the filmmaker one, he's actually stepped away from the show to, like, film, like, an actual movie or something like that. So, recently, the one guy, Neve, has recruited people. Like, that's how I started watching the show. I wanted to see the Nick Young episode. He like, got other stars to join him. He got Rumor Willis, other people like that to, like, join him and be his, like, person that holds the camera and is, like, his backup. So, I don't know. Any final thoughts on Catfish?
Nah, the show's fucking stupid. I'm not hating on the guys that created the show. Right on, you guys.
You mean the people that are involved in it.
The idiots that get the catfisher and the catfishies. You guys are stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know how I got stuck into the show. Like I said, it started with Nick Young, former basketball player. My curiosity that he was on it. But you never know how you fall down these rabbit holes. Anyways, I think that'll about do it for TV. You got anything else TV-wise? Okay, that's a no. Moving into movies. I don't have anything for movies except for I did go to see Captain Marvel again. We recorded a whole episode, ESP, at the movies. If you want to hear our takes on Captain Marvel, we both liked it. Definitely check that out. It was cool. We get into it and we talk about it and then there's a spoiler section. But what I just want to quickly mention is that I went to see it again opening weekend on the Sunday of opening weekend, and at the theater that I'm not crazy about. It's the one that's closest to me though, and yeah, the theater was pretty full and good reactions to everything. So yeah, I don't know, I just wanted to bring that up, that it definitely seems to be a crowd pleaser, so that's cool. Everybody's now ready for Endgame.
I don't know, man. Everyone fucking's hating on that film. Well, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I mean, what the fuck did you guys want? No, the guys that have seen it.
Oh,
what the fuck do you guys want? I understand. It can't be like the books. You guys know me. I'm one of the main ones leading the charge, and it's got to be by the books. But I didn't read the story, so that's my. Why I can't bitch and complain about it. But there's people. I mean, I think it's mainly for all you fucking butthurt men, white men or whatever. That's what she said. I'm going by what they said. Because she wanted girl power and all that. And so what? I mean, it's a fucking movie. Yeah, it's not like she's out there preaching in the streets. I mean, I'm like, what the fuck, man? I mean, everyone's got to bitch about something. I bitch about shit all the time. You guys know me. But
well, that's what we do.
But it's fucking. I mean, it's a fucking movie, man. Get a grip. I don't know, man. I went on Fandango and was reading reviews, man, and it was just all hatred. This movie's boring.
It's not real.
This movie's stupid. It's this, it's that. And I'm like, come on. I mean, what the fuck did you guys want?
Yeah, it's just an online campaign.
And you motherfuckers hate shit so much, you guys make a fucking movie. You make a movie and see how hard it is. And fucking, and then see the backlash of it. I mean, it's fun. I mean, movie where I've only done a little bit of making films. The little bit I've done. And that was hard. And we didn't even finish what we were doing. We're going to finish it, but the little bit that I was a part of, that's fucking hard. And I'm sure if any of you filmmakers are listening, man, you guys know, man, it's not just all right, action, go, and you film a blockbuster, man. You can probably make 100 movies and maybe one or two of those are going to hit. But you're not doing it to make it hits. You're making films to make you because you like making films. I was talking to this one dude, and that's what he said. I don't really give a fuck what people think about what I make, but he goes, that's what I choose to do. We're in Oregon now. I mean, is it still the? I'm getting away from the topic.
This is Cave Junction.
No, I mean, is it still that the Oregon people have to fill up
your gas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. I always feel bad that I don't tip. I never carry cash. That's the thing. You don't have cash, do you?
Yeah, well,
a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Because I feel bad that I don't tip these guys.
Yeah, it's part of their state law.
Yeah, I mean, I know they're. I'm not saying they're expecting tips, but I don't know. I just noticed that since I've been coming to Oregon. Because I was. Yeah. One time I got out and I was getting ready to pump gas. I go, hey! I was like, what the fuck?
Can't do it.
I didn't know that. And then.
State law?
I know. He ran and looked at my license plate and then told me, hey, man, we're supposed to pump. I'm like, okay, cool, party. So, but then I felt bad because I didn't have any change for him. I gotta pull over and get gas. So Zisu's gonna keep going while I do this. But yeah, man, it's weird. I just feel bad. I mean, I always tip if I go out restaurants or whatever. But something like this is kind of here she comes, and I don't want to get yelled at everyone, but. Let me find my wallet. All right, man. I'm going to hand it over to Zisu while we're dealing with the gas situation.
All right. We'll talk about a little upcoming movies. As of you're listening to this, Netflix got a really special one coming out. I was actually going to stay up and watch it at midnight, but that didn't happen. But it's up now as of you're listening to this. It's called Triple Frontier. This one looks good. It has Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, a bunch of people. It's kind of one of these, like, these guys used to be army guys, and now they're at the end of their careers, and they're gonna get theirs. They're gonna have a score of their own.
Keep going.
Yeah, so that's on Netflix. I'm really looking forward to checking that out. Hopefully, as soon as possible. And as far as like what's in theaters, what's out this week, that's Wonder Park, that's a more of a kids movie, and then the what's that alien invasion movie that's coming out, do you know which one I'm talking about?
I don't know,
so there's an alien invasion movie coming out. It looks like it could be one of those like straight to Netflix, straight to streaming type things, but it's coming to theaters, so that's one of those that it's like maybe, but it's hard to ever see, like, really getting excited and going to the theater for it. So, there's that. But, yeah, I think we're going to go a little out of order because I don't want to leave any dead air here now, and we're stopped. So, I'm just going to get into some of the week in sports.
That fucking doesn't work.
I don't know. I don't understand what's going on. It's working. You can see the LTE, but then it's not working. So, funky phone service since I left Eureka. I have no idea what's going on. But week in sports. I want to save most of the NBA stuff for an anchor NBA check-in. But yeah, Warriors up and down. Winning ones they should win against the Nuggets, losing ones they shouldn't against the Suns, so up and down. But NFL, a lot of free agency news going on, a lot of exciting player movement going on. First, right off the bat, we got a big trade out of nowhere. The Giants traded Odell Beckham Jr., that guy, to the Browns. And that situation is nuts. 2 years ago, the Browns went 0-16. They didn't win one game. And now they are the third highest favorite to win the Super Bowl. It's New England, Kansas City, and then the Cleveland Browns are now favorite because they've got Baker Mayfield, quarterback, Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, wide receiver, Antonio Callaway, Nick Chubb at running back. They just got Kareem Hunt. So, yeah, they got David Njoku, tight end. So, yeah, all of a sudden, 2 years removed from their winless season, it looks like the Browns could be real contenders, especially for their division. If not truly to go to the Super Bowl, that'd be nuts. But there was that one. Mark Ingram, running back of the Saints, he went to the Ravens. That was a big move. Le'Veon Bell went to the Jets. He held out all last year. I have him in Dynasty Fantasy, so I didn't get anything from him last year, but he's coming back. I'll have him now on the Jets, which is interesting because I also picked up his backup, James Conner, for the Steelers. So it works out. Instead of backup running back, I've got two starters now, so works for me. And finally, I saved this one to get Nez's reaction, even though he may not care. He's moved on to the Seahawks, but everybody's talking about it in the so-called Raider Nation. They got big-time wide receiver Antonio Brown from the Steelers. So the Steelers are tearing their team apart, and teams that were once down, like the Browns and the Raiders, are now profiting. So whole new NFL. You hear anybody talking about Antonio Brown, or is it too little too late for the Oakland Raiders?
They talk a little bit. Everyone's like, you're not going to do shit. they can fucking, don't matter who you get, can get like the best players in the world and still have the shittiest season. So, I mean, all you fucks are, we're going to the Super Bowl, we're going to do this because we didn't get shit. So fuck you guys.
Yeah, well, that being said, Antonio Brown, he is one of the top wide receivers in the NFL. Tim, and it's crazy, both the two probably biggest ones, him and Odell Beckham Jr., both on the move this year. But yeah, that being said, it's hard to say, like, are his best years behind him? I don't know, you know. Is he at least good for 100 catches? Yeah, but I was watching this one show where they were like, over under 4 touchdowns, and they said 4. They predicted 4 touchdowns, and that's not too many, so I don't know. We'll see. But, I don't know. Did you want to continue on sports, or you want to jump back to your movie?
We'll just keep it with the sports thing. Last week I was down in San Francisco, and I was driving around, and we drove past where they're building that new arena for the Warriors. Because I had no idea where it was going to be, and everyone was saying it was on the water, so I only went along. I think it was Cesar Chavez Boulevard. I don't know if that's what it's on, but fuck, man. Everything that they're building around that arena, it used to be fucking warehouses and hobos and fucking drug addicts. Yep. They fucking knocked all that shit down and it built it all up, man. Just driving down that road, like, I don't even know where the fuck I am. This does not look like how it used to look. I mean, because back in my day, that strip where everything was, it was all warehouses. And fucking, there were just parties and all that. I mean, raves and everything that went on that street. And then now it's all fucking done up in that arena, man. It looks nice, man. I only saw one side of it from the street, but they're still building so much stuff down there. It's like, it's out of control because of all the construction that's going on there. I do not know when that whole area is going to be done. If the arena is done on the inside, it's still a disaster outside because it's fucking the streets are all fucked up and everything. So they still have a lot to work to do. And okay, cool. I mean, I probably never go there for a basketball game, but if there's a concert, I'm sure I would go in there.
It's gonna
just
open
to go
with a
see.
Concert. It's going to open with a concert.
Oh, well,
it's the first event.
Who?
I think Paul McCartney is going to open it.
I'm good. I mean, I love Paul McCartney.
You're good.
I'm you know how much those tickets are going to be? That's why I'm good. No, man, fuck that. Man, I love Paul McCartney, and he's an icon in rock and roll. But Paul McCartney prices? Shit. You're talking to a cheapskate. Man, fuck, man. I remember fucking paying. I remember going paying fucking $10 to see Metallica. Now you're paying like $100 and something. Now fuck all that. Yeah. I mean, and Paul McCartney shit. I if we had good self-service, we would look up to see how much his tickets are. I mean, the cheapest, way up in the nosebleeds, behind the stage, I'm sure they're fucking a ton of money. So, man, fuck all that. I can't do it. I mean, I can appreciate who Paul McCartney is, and I love his music, and I'm sure it would be an awesome show, but concerts, man, they're out of control now. That's why I love going to little smaller shows, and don't pay so much. Go to some little dirt hole club or the Warfield. I hate the Warfield in San Francisco, but I mean, that if you want to be small and semi snazzy, I mean, yeah, go there. But yeah, man, I mean, I think big concerts to me are just not. I don't know. Before when my concert days started as young, when I was young, Kiss was the first concert I went to. I thought that was it, and then I realized that there was a local scene, metal scene in the Bay Area, and then fucking after I got hooked into all that, is when I'm like, I rarely went to big shows unless it was someone that I absolutely had to see. But I mean, majority of it was all little small stuff, and that's what I still like to go to. But big concerts, I think the last big one I went to was, fuck, one of those festivals, Mayhem or Uproar. I don't know. I think it was Mayhem.
Warped?
I think that. Warped Tour sucks now. My friend wanted to go. I looked. I couldn't name one band.
Blink 182.
No.
Aren't they always there?
No, man. They're bigger than that. They're not going to go backwards.
Huh, okay.
This is all the upcoming guys. I mean, I didn't know who any of those people were. The last one I went to was fucking Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, AFI, Deftones, fucking. I know Eminem closed out one of them one time when he was nobody. Then fucking Pennywise and all kinds of those, all the good bands. Right now, I mean, I'm just an old grandpa, but I don't know who the fuck these bands are. I mean, right. I could not.
They're all newbies.
The last few years, I didn't know one band on there. But then again, I mean, that's not for me. It's for the young, yes. For the young guys. But I mean, yeah, you guys out there do your thing. But I don't really go to big things. I might go to Slayer when they play in Albuquerque, but that's at an amphitheater. But I know I'm gonna go to Wu-Tang and Public Enemy. That's at Shoreline. I hate fucking Shoreline, but that's where they're playing. So I'm gonna go for that.
Wu-Tang.
So, but yeah, I mean, De La Soul's also playing. I can't remember where else. And speaking of concert news, fucking MC Hammer is going on tour. There was a big announcement for that. I can't remember who else is gonna be on that bill. From what I understand, he wants to get a bunch of old schoolers and just go out there. Nice. And do it. MC Hammer still has it. Maybe he doesn't move as quick as he used to, but he can still dance and he can still move. For however, I'm 47, so he's got at least be in his 50s, easily pushing 60, and he's still out there doing it. The last time I met him once. No, I met him a few times, but the last time I met him, man, he's still in good shape, man. And he did a show in Tahoe. This was a few years ago.
Did you say don't hurt him?
No, fuck that. You know, man. I remember him from the Troop days. But if you guys remember Troops, do you remember those?
Barely. I was young, you know.
No, I was before your time.
Yeah,
I was when I was out there doing my thing.
For me, it was Can't Touch This, and then that was the first breakthrough.
No, man, that came way later. We already knew who Hammer was before.
Yeah,
I was Bay Area, we knew who Hammer was before the rest of the world did.
Yeah.
Because he got big with Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, and the Can't Touch Us and all that shit.
My friends would make me tapes.
I got into him when he was selling shit out of the trunk when we bought it from him.
Wow.
So, that's awesome. I wish I still had those, but I don't. I mean, that first cut, Turn This Mother Out, man. That song's fucking awesome. I mean that was a fucking good song.
Yeah, amazing.
And not Turn This Mother Out. I'm sorry, that was the later hit years. I mean, Let's Get It Started. That was the first song that I heard, and then that whole first album. I think it was called Let's Get It Started or just MC Hammer. I don't remember, but. Yeah, man, I'd like to go see that. I want to see who else is on that bill. I mean, I would go just to see Hammer, or MC Hammer. He brought the MC back. I mean, I would love to go see him, but if he's going to bring a bunch of old schoolers, I'd like to see who those are. I know there was a rumor. I mean, I've read something. They said it was going to be Tone Loc. And and I want to say Coolio. Coolio sucks. Man, I never liked him.
Never liked him? I liked him for a little.
No.
It was that one, Gangster's Paradise, he couldn't escape it.
That song sucked.
That was when it was like, oh, God, no more Coolio. Yeah, I mean, before that, I don't know.
He sucked, period.
He sucked. Oh, man. One quick follow-up on the new Warriors Arena there in San Francisco. As a diehard Warriors fan, I'm excited for them to finally get a new building. You know, they've been in that one, obviously, forever, since the 70s. So it's cool they're getting a new building. They definitely deserve it. It's going to be awesome. The only thing I've heard that has me a little worried and a little concerned is if you look at some of these other teams who have brand new arenas, if you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, they got a brand new arenas. What they do in these arenas and what they're doing for this one, this new Warriors arena, is the whole thing around it now is going to be restaurants and shops and things like that.
It looks like a fucking mall.
Yeah. So the whole thing is that. And the problem is getting people to their seats and, like, I'm a diehard fan, so obviously I'm there at the game. I want to be seeing the game. I'll do the other stuff later. But I see the problem they're having in these arenas is it goes to halftime, and the people are like, let's go to the restaurant. And then the third quarter starts, and the whole lower dome is empty in, like, the Bucks arena. And it's like, crowds actually for basketball really can influence. They pressure the visiting team. It becomes waves and runs, and if you don't have that, that can really hurt the team. So I'm a little concerned about that.
This is where you can tell who the fans are, the diehard fans. Right. Diehard fans aren't going to get up unless you go get a beer or go take a piss. All these people that just disappear. I mean, I was reading something. They were talking about the Warriors. They're saying, like, all the diehard fans can't afford to go. They're at home watching it.
That's the problem.
Man. So it's like, it's fucking, it's stupid, man. I mean, when the Warriors were
gonna kill the vibe.
When I was growing up, the Warriors weren't shit. I mean, I knew who they were. The few games that I went to were free. Yeah. I mean, it's rare to go, hey, I got fucking 20 tickets to the Warriors game. Who wants to go? And nobody goes, man. Fucking everybody. I mean,
my library gave them out.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no way they're going to hand out free tickets to the Warriors. And if you look at, I mean, you're watching it on TV. You look who's in the crowd.
It's not the same.
It's not the Warrior fans. They're all dressed up. There's some here and there, and I'm just talking shit, everyone. But you could tell this by the article I was reading, because it was a diehard fan that used to go all the time,
right?
And now he can't afford to go.
Exactly.
So tickets, fucking when like he said, like, he was getting free tickets, or if he did buy a ticket, he was paying like $30 at the most.
Just like 2012.
So I was now only, it's
like $20 a ticket.
Yeah. So now it's like you can't even do that. Fucking $20 isn't going to get you a spot in the parking lot.
All right.
You're paying $50 to park there. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? I mean, it's crazy. And as far as parking at the new place, maybe they're going to build a...
They got it.
A parking lot?
They got it.
Not a parking lot, a parking structure. Because from what I've seen, I did not see one there. But then again, I was looking over on the... I'm driving... on the left side is where it was, going towards Hunter's Point. So it would be on my left. I was looking over there because it was all brand new. I didn't look around to see if there was a parking. I know there was. I did not see a parking lot. If there was going to be a parking structure, but I'm sure there's going to be one. Maybe not right outside. It might be a few blocks away. That train system is going to drop off people right in front of it, and from what I understand, and or even if you go to the Giants game, that little train muni system drops you off in the front. There is a parking lot there if at the baseball stadium, but it sucks. You got to get there early if you want to do it. But I think the best way to go to this arena or to the Giants field is public transportation. Take the bus, take muni, whatever. Support all your local transit stuff. I think that'd be the best way to go. And I'm sure once that arena's up and going, Vince McMahon likes to fucking throw his pay-per-views and new places. New, like when they built the 49ers stadium where that bitch-ass team plays. WrestleMania was there. So, I mean, that was the only reason they put that there. And he's already got his eyes on the fucking shitty-ass Vegas Raiders stadium. I'll be there for that. I'm going. That probably be, unless someone gave me a free ticket to go to the Raider game down there, I'll go. But I'm not going to buy one. It's not getting my money.
With Seahawks gear?
Fuck no. I'll go roll in there with an Oakland Raiders shirt on, the real Raiders, not that bullshit. Anyway, I'll go down there for WrestleMania because you know damn well it's going to be any excuse to get WrestleMania back in Vegas. That stadium's going to be it. So I'll be there for that. Couldn't tell you when that's going to be. But anyway, I mean, there's nowhere to fucking park around there. So if they don't build a parking structure, it didn't look like there one was connected to it, because I know on the backside is water. And it just, to me, it looked like a huge mall. So I'm sure there's going to be stores. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of restaurants there. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, fucking go to the game to watch the game, or go to the concert to watch the concert. I mean, fucking, yeah. I mean, that's how it's going to be.
The but other then stuff later.
All the fucking, I mean, that's the diehard fans are going to do that. The people that are there that got free tickets or don't give a fuck, they're just jumping on the bandwagon.
Silicon Valley
fucking
folks.
I mean, all those rich people that can afford to go and leave whenever they feel like it, I mean, that's just a waste of a fucking ticket.
The Silicon people.
So, I mean, anybody, man. San Francisco is turning into a huge tech place. There's parts of that town that used to be fucked up. Now it's all nice and everything. I mean, Hunter's Point Dish. I went up there and it's gone. But there's a badass skate park there now. Wish that shit was there when we were growing up, but then we hardly went there because that area was pretty rough. But looking up there now, they fixed up the park. They fixed up the whole skate park. They got rid of the dish and made it all nice. There's a huge bowl and everything there. That looks awesome. I just ran in there to take a piss and saw the park. But the area's changed, man. I mean, the locals that used to hang out there and run that place ran out by all the tech people that are buying up land everywhere, buying up all the houses over there, basically just shutting everything down or tearing it all down and putting new shit up for everything. I mean, it's okay, cool, but yeah, man, you're still pushing a lot of people out that grew up there. I mean, even going back to Oakland again, a lot of people in West Oakland, man, they had to sell their houses because this new gentrification kicked in and was just... It brought up the value of the neighborhood, and these people can't afford it. I know there's some people that are still there hanging on because they own their house, but they've been owning it before all this shit started. So, I mean, right on for you guys that have done that. But if someone's going to offer you fucking $100 million for your house, take it. Take it. Take it and then go build a house somewhere else. But, yeah, man. But, yeah, as far as that new stadium, it's going to be cool. I'll go there for... concert or whatever, or I'm sure wrestling would be there. If not a pay-per-view, maybe a live event. I'll go there. Just any excuse to go in there. But as far as Warriors games, I will not pay to go in there. And once they leave Oakland, I am not a Warrior fan anymore.
Well, I want to save most of this for the NBA pod, NBA check-in, but just to hint what we have to talk about there, I'd almost, for you, I'm going to throw the advice to you. You almost want to head out now, but yeah, listen to NBA check-in. I'll tell you why. Just one last follow-up question for you on arenas, WrestleMania. Do they only do WrestleMania now in football arenas?
Yeah, it's only in big stadiums.
Because they do that, like, huge ramp now?
No, it just depends on where it is. I mean, the last... they did... where was it? New Orleans? When they... no, that was that big giant ramp. Where was the last one?
The San Francisco one was a ramped, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as big as that one. I mean, it is a big ramp. Because I remember it took forever for DX to get from behind the stage down to the ring. It's different. It just depends on where it's at. Right. But there is a huge ramp. I know the last pay-per-view they did was Royal Rumble. That they did that in the Diamondback Stadium, and from what I understand, everybody that went hated it. They didn't like the layout.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The last
you
one.
Imagine a ring in the middle of a baseball field.
Yeah, because when I went to TOC, that was in the. And the Shark Tank, and that was an arena, the SAP Center, or whatever the hell it's called. But yeah. Usually the regular pay-per-views are all in an arena somewhere. So hopefully one. I think they haven't had a pay-per-view in San Francisco in a long time, mainly because there was nowhere to do it. I know they used to have them in
Palace,
at the Cow Palace, because Eddie, I can't remember what pay-per-view that was. I want to say it was No Mercy. I could be wrong. When Eddie Guerrero won the belt from Brock Lesnar, which was an amazing match. Rest in peace, Eddie Guerrero. But yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, it was Cow Palace, and that was way, way back in the early days. So I don't know. So I think once this place is built, I think Vince is going to look at it and say, hey, man, let's get wrestling back into San Francisco. And they'll probably do that place. If it's not going to be per pay-per-view, I'm sure they will do live shows in there. I'm crossing my fingers that it will be a pay-per-view, because I don't care which one it is. I will go just to go inside that new place. And again, if you do go to games there or whatever, and you're from out of town and don't know the Bay Area, do take the public transit, because that would be easier. And it helps the city of San Francisco with all their bills. So do check that out.
All right. Cool. I think that'll do it for sports, but we didn't finish with movies.
No, I'm going back to sports. We had WWE's Fast Lane. I'm just going from memory on the matches. There was some that I could have done without. I think one of the main matches, I'm missing some of them. I mean, I know the first match was Shane McMahon, The Miz. They took on The Bar, Cesaro, and Sheamus. Cesaro and Sheamus are the champ, the SmackDown Tag Team champs. They're still the champs. But there was a little turn at the end. The Miz and Shane McMahon, their little duo that they had going strong for a little bit, but Shane McMahon threw a wrench in it, because when they lost the match, Shane McMahon blamed The Miz for it, and he basically turned on him and beat his ass. And Shane McMahon, I mean, The Miz's dad was in the crowd, so he was trying to win for his dad, but they obviously lost. So Shane McMahon grabbed The Miz's dad by the head and shook him around. It's on the script, everybody. I mean, he didn't get hurt. But he fucked up The Miz pretty bad, and then Shane walked out and everybody booed him. I hate The Miz. I liked him in the beginning, but I don't know. He just kind of got under my skin. But I love Shane McMahon. He's badass. So I'm more team Shane O'Mac. So, but other than that, I mean, that match was okay. It wasn't nothing to call mom about. But the next match, I'm going out of order, everybody. I know there was there was a female match, tag team, because it was the Raw tag team champs, Sasha Banks and Bayley took on. Who the hell were they? Tamina and Nia Jax. Okay, it is scripted. It's not fake, like all you haters always say. Fuck you guys. Let me see you get in the ring and do what they do. But anyway, if you guys know who Nia Jax is, and you know who Tamina is, and you know who Bayley and Sasha Banks are, there's a size difference. Fucking Nia Jax would probably weigh what Bayley and Sasha Banks together. But I love Nia Jax. She's a beautiful woman. I love her. But then with the big wrestlers, they only have a handful of moves. But she's there because she's fucking brute force. Will fuck you up. Same thing with Tamina. Tamina Snuka, the legendary and late and great Superfly, Jimmy Snuka, his daughter. And those two would have fucking ran through them. No problem if it was, let's just say, if they got into a real fight. Nia Jax could have probably took them both out by herself. But you knew they weren't going to drop those belts. This is the last pay-per-view right before WrestleMania. We got WrestleMania in, I think, like 4 weeks. So this was the last stop for the road to WrestleMania. So nobody dropped titles at all these title matches, because I'm like, no one's going to drop their belts right before WrestleMania. If they do drop their belt, it's going to be at WrestleMania. So I'm like, come on. I mean, I just like the pay-per-views for what they are. I mean, not all of them are good, but I was like, man, I don't know who Sasha and Bayley are going to take on at WrestleMania, but I was kind of like, I mean, they did have some good moves in that. So, I mean, the match was okay. Sasha and Bayley are still the Raw Tag Team Champs. Whatever. But basically, after they won, Nia and Tamina just beat the shit out of them after the match was over, and they walked out. So they were sore losers, but I was cheering for them. Anyway, one of the other matches was Daniel Bryan took on, it was like a triple threat match. Daniel Bryan took on Kevin Owens because Kevin Owens is back. He got hurt and he's been gone for a while, but now he's back. And Mustafa Ali, which is fucking NXT, and he's fucking badass. The storyline right now is it should have been Kofi Kingston because they've been pushing him right now. He should have won at the last pay-per-view, and he should have been the WWE champ. But Daniel Bryan won still, and I was like, man, because it was Elimination Chamber. And, man, they went hard, Daniel Bryan and Kofi Kingston. So he was supposed to be in that match, but then that was going to be right at the beginning. Or no, I think it was the second match. But Vince McMahon came out and said, no, you're going to fight somebody else. And he had to fight, I don't know, I think two people and got beat up. I don't know, something stupid like that. I can't remember who he fought. No, I'm sorry. The Kofi Kingston took on The Bar. Sheamus and Cesaro. Who the fuck was I don't know. I'm getting it mixed up. Every see, this is what happens when I don't have my notes in front of me. But again, then again, this is in the truck. But anyway, so back to that other match. Mustafa Ali, I was more of him. I like Daniel Bryan and I love Kevin Owens, but come on, man, let these new guys do it. People were booing them. Everybody wanted Kofi Kingston in this match. They were booing. They were going boring. They got the boring chant going. Everybody was screaming Kofi, wanted him. Even the commentators were saying, why isn't Kofi out here? So, I mean, it's all the storyline leading up to WrestleMania. So, I mean, and I'm sure once the crowd is not into it, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the wrestlers will step it up to get everyone back, to get all their attention again. The beginning was a little slow, and when everyone was booing them and all that, but then fucking towards the end, man, when they were flipping and flying off the top of ropes and everything and off the corners, man, it got good. Daniel Bryan's still the champ. He ended up pinning, I think he's pinned Mustafa Ali, I can't remember, but Mustafa Ali, if you guys I liked him from NXT, and he's still badass, so it's good to see him, that he came up, but... that was that one. I think the main thing, the main event was the Shield got together one last time. Roman Reigns was gone for like about 6 months when his leukemia flared up again. But now he's in remission, so he got back into shape and he came back. But he wanted to do the Shield one last time. There was a build-up on Raw and everything. Dean Ambrose he's kind of not wanting to be. I think he's just done with wrestling, so he didn't re-sign. So I think it's coming to an end. I don't know if he's going to WrestleMania or if he's going to be. I don't know. And this isn't a part of the storyline. Some people are saying it is, but some are saying not. I think he's just done. He just wants to take his money and just retire. But who knows, man? He can come back because he's still in good shape. He's still fairly young. From what I understand, he lives in Vegas. Maybe he just wants to go back and just retire in the heat. Ugh, I can't do that heat in Vegas. Too hot for me. But anyway. So, the Shield took on Apollo Crews. Not Apollo Crews. Was it Apollo Crews? No. Fuck. The black dude. Fuck, I can't remember his name now. You guys know who he is. That big buff dude. He was wrestling back in the day, then he came back.
Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley.
Wow,
yeah.
How did I know that?
He came, Baron Corbin, which I like Baron Corbin when he didn't have his little nice guy suit on or whatever, and when he had long hair, but He was losing his hair, so he just shaved it off. But anyway, Bobby Lashley, Baron Corbin, and he was one of the three-man band. Drew McIntyre. I said the Irish guy. Yeah, Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre, man, he was gone for a while. Because once 3MB kind of just disappeared, they booted Drew McIntyre and what's his name? Jinder Mahal. They kind of just got rid of them. But then they went and revamped themselves, and now they're back. And Drew McIntyre is a heel, and he got fucking ripped. As well as Jinder Mahal, he got ripped too, and they both came back. So right on for you guys. So that match was going, and the Shield, man. You guys know me, and you know my wrestling. I've always been down with the Shield since day one when they came on back in the day. I think it was, I don't want to throw out a date because I can't remember. But when they first came out, I mean, you guys know who the Shield are. They wear all their little get up. When they first came out, I want to say it was, wasn't Night of Champions. It was Survivor Series. They came out and beat up some fools, and they were just wearing black. Then later on, they came back with their little get ups and everything now. So they all had their Shield gear on, and they went out there and fucking, were throwing each other around. It was three-man tag, so that was cool. But when Seth Rollins got, not Seth Rollins, when Roman Reigns got tagged in, that place blew up. I mean, before the leukemia stuff, everybody hated Roman Reigns. They would always boo him. But he came back, and it was cool, man. I mean, you could see he smiled big when everyone cheered for him once he got in the ring. So they were booting it all up, man. They were starting off slow, and then they were getting big, and then once they fell out of the ring, they started doing things. I think my favorite part of this match, I mean, other than it was awesome to see Roman Reigns wrestle again, was when they took it out of the ring. Drew McIntyre, Baron Corbin and Roman Reigns were in the ring. Drew McIntyre, Bobby Lashley was taking on Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins on the outside of the ring, and they fell over onto the where they have the opening show with Booker T and all them, where they talk. The kickoff show commentators table. They kind of fell over there and they were wrestling around. And then all of a sudden they went, where's Seth Rollins going? There was a pullback camera shot. You could see him climbing up into the stands. But then the camera focused in because Dean Ambrose jumped off the table. And Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre caught him. And then from out of nowhere, you just see Seth Rollins dove up high from off the higher seats. Onto them. For some reason I was thinking of a pay-per-view that happened a few years ago. Same thing, man. Seth Rollins climbed up on top of the high seats and then dove onto everyone. So he did it again. It was awesome. The Shield were victorious because Roman Reigns ended up pinning Baron Corbin in the ring. And it was a good show, because if this is the last time, I know they came out on Raw. I didn't see it, but I just saw the replays and everything. But I think this is it. I think this was the last time that they had a pay-per-view. I'm hoping that they go to WrestleMania, and maybe that'll be the last time. But I don't know. It was awesome to see them again, because Dean Ambrose, you didn't think it was going to happen. Because the first time they broke up, it was because of Seth Rollins. And I hated Seth Rollins after that. But then he kind of wised up and came back. And then Dean Ambrose broke it all up. I don't know. I was just, because the Shield came back, but then Roman Reigns got hurt. So that kind of threw a wrench in their first comeback. And then it took forever, and then he finally came back. And then they were the Shield again, and they didn't last very long, and then Dean Ambrose broke it all up. But then now they're back, and I'm hoping this isn't the last time. I would like to see them one more time in WrestleMania. I've always loved their entrance, because they came through the crowd, but then they kind of stopped going through the crowd and they were coming out from behind the stage. But at Fastlane, they came through the crowd and everybody was hyped. I've been a fan of the Shield right from the get-go when they first came on the scene.
and I was able to be in one of the rows at Raw back in the day. Or not back in the day, when the Shield was probably in the middle of their first run. I got to be in the aisle where Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins came down. My son Eric, we were there, and Eric loved the Shield as well. He don't watch wrestling anymore, but he still knows who everyone is. But he was really little, so that kind of pushed him. We were in the aisle seat, so that was even more awesome, because once the Shield music kicked in, I'll have to dig up that video of me, because you see me marking out once you hear Sierra Hotel and all that, and then the Shield, and then the music kicked in. Dean Ambrose came over a row over, but Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins came down where we were, and this is when they were the tag team champs, so they came down with the belts, and I thought that was sweet.
Nice.
And I mean, just I've just been a fan of the Shield, and I need to get that new shirt that they just came out with, because when they came out on Raw, they all had Hounds of Justice T-shirts, a new one. So I want to get that one up, get that one. I know I have the first Shield shirt. I have the first shirt when they returned. I also have a sweatshirt somewhere. I know I bought a Hounds of Justice sweatshirt, but I just need to find it. And but yeah, so if that's it. And then, okay, man, right on. You guys did it. Because, like I said, Dean Ambrose might be done and everything. But overall, man, the pay-per-view was cool for what it was. Yeah, there was a couple matches. I didn't go through every match. And some of them were just kind of like, time fillers. But, yeah, that was it for Fastlane. WrestleMania is coming in the next 4 weeks. And that's going to be in, I think, Jersey at the Giant Stadium. So, yeah, get ready for that. It's going to be awesome.
Cool, cool, cool. All right.
Get that movie.
I don't know if you want me to get into collecting or Star Wars, or you want to head back to your movie.
Let me go back to the movie real quick. I don't have anything pulled up in front of me.
I went and saw that movie, Greta. It would star Chloe... something.
Seven, yeah?
No. Chloe,
Grace DeMarcus?
I don't know. The fucking hit girl from Kick-Ass. Chloe Grace Moretz or something like that.
Yeah,
whatever the hell her name is.
That's it.
She was in it. I cannot remember the actress that played Greta. I'd seen her in a ton of stuff. The movie was, it was about this girl living in New York with her roommate. She was a waitress at some little fancy restaurant. But anyway, she's on the train and she finds a purse. And she looks at it. There's ID in it. There's money and everything. And she looks at the ID. And this is all a trailer. So she, being the good Samaritan she is, she takes it to back. Well, first she takes it to her apartment. And her friend's like, fucking keep it. There's money and everything in it. We can party and all that. And she's like, no, I'm going to give it. Am I going the right way still?
Yeah.
Anyway,
you're
so...
five that way.
Oh, okay, that's five. All right. Yeah. So, fuck, I gotta get over one. But anyway, so where are we?
Grants Pass.
Okay. Anyway, we're in Grants Pass, or Oregon, everyone. But anyway, so she's like, yeah, we're gonna, I'm gonna take it back to her. So she takes the bag back to her. She kind of meets her and realizes that her daughter doesn't live with her anymore. She's kind of just an old lady that's sad and she just wants friends. So she kind of befriends her a little bit, hangs out with her, and then this is when she realizes that she's this was in the trailer too, so I thought it was kind of dumb that they did that, but I guess that's the only way to get you to see it. So the girl's over at her house. Chloe's over at her house. I can't remember her name in the show, in the movie, but she's at her house and she realizes they're having dinner and she's looking for something. And she opens up one of the cupboards and sees like a ton of the exact same bags. And she opens them and she sees names on them. And it's obviously that this lady, Greta, has done this before with other people. So she like kind of gets freaked out and is acting all weird. And basically, you know what, I need to go home. So she goes home and just, she tells her friend. And she's like, fuck, that's crazy, man. Just don't do nothing with her anymore. So she like just tries to just not be in contact with anybody. She's getting like crazy phone calls at all hours of the night. She gets like a million texts and she just won't respond to her. And then it gets to the point to where Greta goes to her work and she's like, why didn't you answer my phone calls and this and that? And I thought we were friends. And then she's like, you know what? Just get away from me. I don't want nothing to do with you. So we passed Medford.
Yeah, that way.
Okay, right on. But anyway, so she's like, oh, she's like, I don't want nothing to do with you. Just leave me alone. And but then Greta ain't having it. So she starts stalking her. She would stand out in front of her work and wait for her to come in and make scenes at her job. And then it just goes crazy from there. It was actually a pretty good movie. It was a little slow in the beginning, but then once all the craziness started, it was cool. I mean, there was a couple problems I had. This was probably the main problem I had. I can't remember Chloe's name. I'm just going to call her Chloe. But anyway, she's a young gal. 20s, I would say. She looked like she was in shape. And the Greta was this old lady. And I was like, why couldn't she overpower her? I mean, once Greta starts to go crazy and they start, like, it gets physical. And I'm like, why could she just fucking, like, beat her ass or something? I was kind of like, what's happening? I mean, if some old man was trying to get all fucking upset with me, dude, I'd fucking anything. I mean, I love the movie. I'll buy it when it comes out. I really did enjoy it. I can't remember the director's name. I know he directed The Crying Game, and I love that movie. That movie was awesome. And Greta, she was also in The Crying Game, but in much younger years. This was like early 90s, I believe, when that one came out. But anyway, so I always have a problem with these people not... I mean, this is my mentality. Fucking, if I'm fucking fighting for my life and I'm in a room full of ton of things to throw, I'm throwing anything at you. Fucking lamp, books, fucking pillows. Just anything. I mean, nope. There's plenty of weapons to grab. You could basically turn anything into a weapon and kill somebody. I'm like, what the fuck? I know it's a movie, everybody, but I'm just like, fuck, man. There's all kinds of shit around she could have grabbed when they were wrestling around in Greta's apartment. But yeah, I mean, that's just me overthinking. But anyway, I mean, the movie's good. I won't tell you what happens at the end. It's because it's a fairly new movie and it's still in the theater. I don't know how it's doing because I never really hear anyone talking about it. So, but out of all the stuff that I listen to and read. So, but I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. Like I said, it's a little slow in the beginning, but once all the craziness gets going, it's pretty good. And the ending was cool. It was a little hokey, but it was still, I did like what happened at the end. But like I said, I'm going to pick it up when it comes out. If I do get a chance... Damn, what is this fool doing? He's just standing... Sitting in the middle of the freeway on the divider. Ooh. He must have tried to fucking run across the freeway.
Yep.
I hope he's not trying to kill himself. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, the movie's good. I liked it. So if you guys... If I'm selling it good enough to you guys, I mean... everything isn't in the trailer. So that's what's cool. But like the main parts are, before she goes nuts, are... So, but overall, man, I really did like what was going on in it. I liked everybody in it. There was also another dude, I think one of the main guys in Crying Game, he was also in it. So I guess you can see the connection of him, Greta, and the director. They must all be really good friends and use each other every now and then. So, but right on. The movie's cool. Check it out if you want. And that was Greta. That was the only thing I seen in the theater.
All right. I guess on that note, get into the week in collecting. Wow, there's another one. This is a popular spot to try to get it right, I guess, Grants Pass, Oregon. Anyways, if you listened to the last time we recorded in Reno, you know they had a little Target con, so we did that anchor show, so I won't cover any of that, but those were those my last pickups. Oh no! Recently there was a Hot Topic Hot Cash redemption event. I didn't have very many this time, but chose to use mine on the Thor versus Thanos movie moment. So looking forward to photographing that soon. Going to be part of my countdown to Infinity War, I've already kicked that off. Instagram at the Zisu. Go always promote. Yeah, busy with the 50-day countdown for that. I always plan that ahead so I know where I'm at. And now that we're on the road, I've actually pre-written. Now there's traffic slamming on the brakes. Yeah, you get, especially in this where we're at, I've driven this route a lot on the way up to Seattle, and you get a lot of these trailer truck traffic, which is usually the only thing that slows it down. And it's not them, they'll stay to the right, but the other cars zipping in and out from in between them slows everybody else down. So anyways, one of the things I thought I'd do though is talk about some of the stuff that's hopefully we're going to see at...
Save that for another show.
Oh, okay. He wants me to save that.
We're going to do all that when we have... We're going to do all that when we have our ECCC wrap-up show tomorrow night. I don't know if you'll listen to it tomorrow night, but Friday or whatever when you hear it.
Yeah, well, probably Friday because it might not be until after HQ that we actually find the stuff.
We'll do another one after that.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, I'll skip that, but that was... The Thor versus Thanos was my main pickup. What I'm looking forward to doing with photographing it. If you've seen it, they're relatively close together. But the idea I have is to have Thanos there on the forest floor ground and then kind of cut out Thor from the image and then photograph him like higher up in the sky. So I have an idea that might turn out pretty cool. I've got a pretty good reaction from my initial in-game photos. I did a End of Infinity, where everybody's vanished, and War Machine's like, what the hell is this? What's going on? And then I did one for the new trailer of, you know, Some People Move On, Not Us. I did that. So, good reaction to that. That's cool. So, I'm going to keep it going with that, and keep it going with the MCU rewatch. But, since we last talked, since the Target Con, you've done any pickups in collectibles? Oh, well, I caught them at a bad time. Yeah, as far as what I'm hoping to see of the show, I'm not going to go into specifics, but I'm hoping to see stuff at the HQ at the show. I know we won't be able to buy from Funko at the show. You have to have won the lottery ahead of time. But we'll see. They open it up at the end of the day, and I have no idea. The main one I'm after is Life Aquatic with Steve Zisu, the Pop. So if not, going to have to jump online 7 a.m. Friday morning to try to get that online. Small chance they have it at the HQ, but got to secure that one. That's the must-have of haves from here. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they have. It was cool to see last year when Nez went through and he recorded the video that's up on YouTube if you want to check that out. But it was really cool to see him, and Facebook too. It was cool to see how he was like coming down and then when you right entered and what they had on the table. So if they have a similar setup, I'll be sure to grab whatever they have as far as like special edition type stuff.
If they do it like they did last year when there was the exclusives they had there at HQ, you had to get them when you walked in the door. If you right. didn't, if you didn't get it when you walked in, you had to go back outside and get in line again. So if you're going to do that, grab them when we pass them. That right. doesn't mean you have to get them to buy them.
Yeah.
You just grab them and put them in the back.
Yeah, sure.
Because people did just set them down.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. give me what you got, and then I'll decide.
Yeah.
But, yeah, any pickups for you in these past couple of weeks?
Last weekend I was down in the Bay Area. I went over to Super 7 looking for the No Mercy Slayer Goatman Devil Man figure or whatever you want to call it. It just says Slayer No Mercy on it. They actually didn't have any. Oh, excuse me. Can you give me one of those drinks you brought? I was eating peanuts and got stuck in my throat. But anyway, this came out, I want to say, a couple weeks ago or maybe a month or so ago. And I know everybody went nuts for them because when King Diamond came out, everybody went crazy and bought all those. And I got a hold of one of those King Diamonds, so I'm good. I need another one because I want to open it.
Sorry, pause break for a drink. But anyway, so I went in there. They didn't have the No Mercy Slayer one. So I was like, fuck, man. Because everybody, excuse me. When those came out, everybody went online. But then, from what I understand, they were saying, nah, we're going to have a shit ton. So I think they learned their lesson with King Diamond. So I was like, all right, man, it's been a while. Maybe everybody got the ones, the diehards that wanted it, got it. I went in there. They didn't have any more. I was like, fuck. And I asked the dudes, I said, hey, when are you guys going to get more? And they said, oh, we're probably not going to get any more until another 2 months. So I was like, fuck. All right. And he goes, but good news. I said, what about King Diamond? Oh, we should be getting those in the next couple weeks. And he goes, but we're releasing another one. But they're not sure when because they didn't know. But they're sitting in the warehouses. There's going to be a glow-in-the-dark King Diamond.
Ooh,
nice. I'm like, fuck. And then he goes, yeah. He goes, I'm gonna get online and buy that one. So when that comes out, I'm just going to buy two so I can take one out of the box or out of the package. So that was cool, exciting news because I didn't know that. And then one of the guys said, they're in the warehouse right now. He's seen them, and they're raring and ready to go. So I'm like, fuck. I said, well, when's that going to be released? He goes, we don't know yet. He goes, they usually don't tell them until they're about to drop. Maybe I'll get a hold of Brian, and he can maybe give me a little more information. That was our hookup in Super 7. So, but anyway, so I was looking around in there. I mean, they have a ton of stuff, mainly reaction stuff and their alien line. I love the big, giant, tall alien ones, but man, they're expensive. I really want one. There's an all green one I want, but it's like $200, and I'm like, I can't drop $200 on something like that. That's me, man. I'm just the cheapskate that I am. But who knows? Maybe I'll eventually get one, and I probably would take it out of the box because I would want that displayed because there's no way I'm going to buy two. So most likely I did it because back in the day when Alien first came out, or not when it first came out, but if it wasn't late 70s, early 80s, when I want to say Kenner made it. I can't remember. They made a big, tall alien. I had it. I wish I still had it. I know some guys still have it, but they're charging an arm and a leg for it. And no, I ain't going to do that. But anyway, they have theirs in there. They're not the mold of, at least the head, I think, isn't the mold from the original alien that was out. Because these ones look more like the Warrior aliens and aliens and James Cameron's aliens. They kind of look more like that. But they're all pretty cool. They are dropping some more of the reaction alien figures. I guess their next wave is coming pretty soon. Out of those ones, the only ones I have are the actual xenomorphs. Those are the only ones that I got. I got a few of those. Plus, I got the blind ones that I got, like 5 of those. I need to get the other ones. So I was looking around in there. There's t-shirts in there, other things. They have a huge Masters of the Universe line. The regular size ones and the little small reaction size figures. Shogun Warriors, they have those. Not the big tall ones. I wish they did. But these are little small reaction ones. They didn't have the one that I wanted. I can't remember his name. He's the one that has a spaceship in his head. Anyway, so I was looking around. And then they have... I know they had these before because I mean, when I was in New York, I bought a glow-in-the-dark creature from the Black Lagoon. So they had theirs in there. Not the glow-in-the-dark one. That was a New York Comic-Con exclusive. I'm glad I got that because that price went up. So when I was in there, I saw they put out some new creature from the Black Lagoon figures. So I picked up one of those. That was the only thing I bought at Super 7. Marky, my son Marky, his girlfriend, were there, and he bought some stuff. There's some Iron Maiden reaction. They got the blind boxes, so Marky got one of those. I think he got the Power Slave one. I didn't get one of those. I was going to, but I said, that's all right. I was kind of mad that Slayer figure wasn't in there. So we left that place. We go up to Haight Street and start walking around over there. I step into Amoeba looking for some movies. I couldn't find any movies, but I noticed that they had a huge wall of figures and everything. And they had pops and everything, so I was looking through those. There was nothing that I needed, but they had those Slayer figures. So I was like, fuck yeah. So I got one.
Nice.
They had a ton of them. So if any of you guys that are in the Bay Area that are looking for those Slayer figures, there's none at Super 7, like you just said. Go to Amoeba up on Haight Street, and they had a bunch in there.
Nice.
And that was on Saturday when I went in there, last Saturday when I went in there. So if you guys are looking for that and you're in the Bay Area, do go over to Amoeba. They had a bunch of them. I should have bought two. I just got excited and bought one and got out of there. So most likely I'll get another one eventually. I still need to get another King Diamond the first go around so I can take him out of the package. But when that glow-in-the-dark one comes out, I'm buying two right off the gate so I can have one on the wall and have the other one on my desk. So those are the only things I picked up. I mean, when I go to Super 7, I always try to leave with something. There was another thing in there I wanted, another creature than Black Lagoon, but it's got, like, his face. It's a huge package. It's not like just how the regular figures come. It's a bigger. It's still the same size figure, but it's a different package. If you guys are Super 7 fans, you know what I'm talking about. But they didn't have a creature, so I didn't get it. But they did have a creature from the Black Lagoon, little candy bucket for Halloween. I saw that was in there, but they were kind of up high. I didn't get to really look at it. But they say they were selling those, so. I think next time I go in there, I'm just going to get that. Because I just went in there, got that creature, and didn't find the Slayer one, so I got out of there. But because if I stay in there too long, I'll end up buying everything.
Yeah.
And right. I knew I was coming up to Emerald City for Comic-Con, and I said I didn't want to blow everything in there. So, yeah. So those are the last two things I picked up, and I never really looked around for anything else. But I was hyped I got those two reaction figures.
All right. Cool. Yeah, well, I guess we're coming back at you with more on-location stuff for ECCCC. We'll be talking up all the collectibles, all the stuff we find, all the stuff at HQ, so be on the lookout for that. And as we move on, let's get into a little Star Wars. Not much this week, but keeping up with Resistance. They've gotten to the point, their penultimate episode, they're going into the season finale this next weekend. And pretty cool. I can say this truly without spoiling, because, you know, if you know Force Awakens, you know. But they've gotten to the point where the Resistance story is now crossed over into the Force Awakens timeline, because in the end of this episode, we see the characters hear Hux's speech from Force Awakens before Starkiller Base fires on that Posnian system and everything. So, anyways, it's cool to see they've crossed over into that, and I'm looking forward to seeing where the show goes. It really impressed me. I've said this before, but I was always under the impression that it really was just for kids, and it was going to be more like just like racing, like a racing show. But no, not at all. It really does involve more of the like kind of spy game between the Resistance and the First Order. So, yeah, pretty cool. Other than that, the only Star Wars news I can think of is I think we yeah. Now we're going like 30 miles an hour on a freeway. The parks, we were talking about it last time we were in the truck edition. We were talking about the possibility of going to the park, and our friend Courtney's talking about first week in June, middle of the week. Since then, he hit us up with a little message that says you have to reserve your time. And the first thing that Nez said in our little message train was like, "I knew it!" So, yeah, of course, and I don't think it changes anything, really. We just need our time. We just need our reservation time. And it doesn't mean you have to make a purchase. You don't have to stay there. You just need to reserve a time.
They're going to run you through it quick. There's no way you can stay there as long as you want. There's no way.
You think it's going to be timed per day?
Yep. It's new, and all the people, millions of people are going to want to go.
So if we reserve for the day, it's not for the whole day?
Nope. It's going to be a time limit. I guarantee you. They're not going to just let anyone go in there and stay 10 hours in that one part. They're going to try to get as many people as they can through there. So they're going to give you a time. Okay, you two show up at 12 o'clock, but you got to get through. They're going to basically herd you through it, I think, because there's no way they're going to just let you hang out in there.
Yeah, I guess I could see what you're meaning. It's only, I think, through the end of either June or July. I know I initially was thinking about going August, and
I think the time to go will be when you're doing these reserved scenes, because then you know what time.
Yeah,
you know what time you're going to be in there.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be the best for those of you, for you high rollers out there, or the ones that are going to go the first time. I advise you to do that, because I think after a certain date is when it's just a free-for-all and you're going to go and stand in line for hours. I think that's when it's going to suck a little bit. It's going to suck regardless, but it's going to, I mean, not once you get in there, it's going to suck waiting. So it's going to be, it's going to suck more once these reserve things are over with, when it just goes into first come, first serve. So if you're going to be one of those ones that want to be there right when it opens, the first, I don't know what. When does it open?
May? Sometime in May? Yeah.
I don't know. I know they're supposed to have some big thing in celebration. Speaking of celebration, I am not going because a friend of mine that was going, that was kind of planned this whole thing, he can't make it. So I basically have nowhere to stay. So I don't want to pay $1 million for myself at a motel or a hotel, whatever.
Right.
And I wish Mike still lived out there. Then I would definitely go, because I would have somewhere to stay. But now I don't. So I am going to just basically, I'm not going to flip my badge. I know there's something where you can go.
They
release something called Light or whatever. You can put it on there. Basically just get my money back. I don't know if I'm going to get, I think I'm just going to get face value, and that's it. So, yeah. I mean, I had to pay an extra $30 with all the service charges and all that other bullshit. So, I doubt I'll get all that back. But
rough.
I know I'm going to lose at least $30 out of that deal.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. All right. Well, anything else in the store?
I could be an asshole and put it on StubHub and get double what I paid, but I don't know. I'll read into more into that other thing. If it's just going to give me face value, I think it was like $70 or some shit. Like, 'cause I know I paid almost $100 once it was all said and done. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be the asshole and flip it for double, but who knows? We'll see.
Yep, we will see. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I saw that thing they posted if you need to resell your tickets. That's the first time they had to do that. I mentioned them before that every other celebration, at least the ones I went to, the Orlando ones, the Anaheim one, tickets weren't an issue. You could get them at the door. That's crazy that this one sold out. Not only sold out, but sold out really early. I can't believe that happened. You got anything else in the Star Wars world?
Nah, that's it.
All right. I guess that'll take us to random recommendations. Usually, I have something for you that you can stream, but as we're doing this in the truck edition, I didn't have anything written down in reserve, so I'm just going to go to the movies I have in my own little iTunes library and see what strikes me, what I haven't recommended before. A lot of this I have, or it's pretty much standard fare. You know how movie collections go. How about 2014's Gone Girl? David Fincher, Ben Affleck, and Rosamund Pike. Yeah, this is Gillian Flynn's bestseller. The engaging thriller reveals the secrets of modern marriage. On his fifth wedding anniversary, Nick Dunn reports his beautiful wife, Amy, missing. Amidst a media frenzy and pressure from the law, Nick's portrait of a blissful union fades. Soon his behavior prompts the question, did he kill his wife? This one, for me, I couldn't wait to see it in theaters. I saw it opening night Thursday when it came out in 2014. Took Jade. I don't know how excited she was. And, you know, she's a high schooler. It was fine. But this is one of those, like, oh, I want to know and stuff like that. And I just loved Fincher's touch on it. He's an awesome filmmaker. I love his work, like, with Zodiac and everything he's done. So, it's not so much guessing the twist. It's just how they did it in Gone Girl. I don't even know if it's so much as a twist. I think a lot of people probably guessed where this one was going. But, yeah, I just love the performances in this film. Did you see it when it was in theaters, or did you wait till later?
I only seen the ending.
You only seen the ending? Oh, man. I feel like this needs to be, like, up to the challenge or something. I love this film.
I know how it ended, so it's not... Then it will be a surprise.
Yeah, but it's just... Fincher's such an awesome filmmaker. You've seen all of Zodiac, right?
That was all right.
Oh, I love Zodiac! Man, I love the details of Zodiac. I love that Zodiac...
It was too long and boring.
I love that Zodiac is... You think it's going to be just like a traditional, like, telling of a serial killer and stuff like that. And Ted, instead, it just turns out to be the story of obsession. And it goes from one character to the next. It goes from Robert Downey Jr.'s character to Mark Ruffalo's character to eventually Jake Gyllenhaal's character. And it's less about the killer. They keep dropping this line in the film that more people die in the East Bay commute than the Zodiac ever killed. It's just like it captured the imagination of people and stuff like that, and it was more fun just to see how the characters became obsessed with this tale. And I don't know, I think it worked so well for me because I am usually interested in that kind of story, the whole, and this is the same thing for Gone Girl. I'm a huge fan of Investigation Discovery, Dateline, 2020, these kind of shows. So yeah, and I think Gone Girl really kind of plays into that with the whole modern take on it. They even have their, like, take on the Nancy Grace character, this, like, talking news head who's, like, outraged at, you know, this crime that's been committed. So, anyways, yeah, I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. Usually it is. Traditionally, I've seen it streaming on HBO, but it might be other places now. Obviously, you could always get it on Amazon, but, yeah, Gone Girl. Love that film. So, what you got, Nez?
I don't know what year it came out, but I was listening to Dolly Parton on my first part of the drive. I want to go to Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton's, I guess you can call it a rom-com, but... And not really. It was more of just a comedy. Rhinestone, if you guys have seen that. I would say 85, maybe. 85, 86. I don't remember. It might be earlier. It might be later. But that was an awesome film. I loved it. It's hilarious. I wish they put it on Blu-ray, but I know it's on DVD. As far as streaming, I don't think it's streaming anywhere. But then again, I never really look. So I know it's not on Netflix. Might check. Although I know it's not on Hulu either. Or I would... say Amazon, maybe. I don't know. I have the DVD, it's right there, so I don't, anytime I feel like watching it, I watch it. But that's what I'm gonna come at you guys with. It's a hilarious film. I know a lot of people bashed it when it first came out. We get Stallone singing and everything, and it's fucking hilarious, man. I mean, it's so stupid, it's hilarious. I love Dolly Parton. She's got an amazing voice. She can always, every movie I've seen her in, acting wise, she did a good job. I think 9 to 5 was my favorite film of hers. But she does do a good job in this one, in Rhinestone. So check it out. As far as what it was about, Dolly Parton is a country singer in New York City. Stallone is a cab driver. And Dolly Parton, she's coming up with the end of her contract. And her manager, whoever she signed with, is... his asshole. He's only trying to get in her pants. But they make a bet. Like, I can turn anybody into a rhinestone cowboy. So she takes that bet. And the first one that comes across them, or, well, a guy comes in front of her, but she doesn't know. But she goes, the next guy who walks, crosses in front of me, I'll take. And it turns out to be Sylvester Stallone. So the story begins there. So the rest of the film, she's trying to make him into a country singer. And it's just hilarious all along the way. We come across a jealous boyfriend. I can't remember the actor's name. I just met him not too long ago at Comic-Con. And he told me an awesome story about him making out with Dolly Parton in a limousine when they were filming it. So right on, dude. But it's awesome. Yeah, that's my pick. It's a funny film. I know some people didn't think so, but I love it. Probably one of my favorite Stallone films, and that's Rhinestone.
Is that the one too with the song? Da 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 da.
Da 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 da. That song's it, right? You don't know Rhinestone Cowboy?
I do, but I was young. This is another one of those. There's so many movies like that. Of course, I know, I'm aware of, but you know, as far as retaining it, you know?
Everybody should know that song. You knew the tune,
right?
You didn't know the name of it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This movie was actually based on Rhinestone,
right?
The Rhinestone Cowboy song.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
But you didn't know the name of it, so you didn't know.
Of course. Well, I knew that much. So you gotta give me that. Is that your song?
No.
Okay. All right, I'll get into my song. Doom, an artist I've referenced before. In coming up for this, I just quickly shuffled through random songs on my pod till I found one I liked. And yeah, I'm going to go with... he did this really random kind of Borat-themed mixtape album. So you can get that on... I've referred to this a bunch of time, that mixtape website, DatPiff. You can get it, MF Borat mixtape by Doom. And this is the Paper Mill song. I just love this beat. Since we're in the truck, I get to play it for you. Oh, maybe not. I don't think I'm connected anymore. Are we?
No.
Anyways, doesn't matter. I don't even play it. But, yeah, Paper Mill, MF Borat.
All right, I'm going to stick with Dolly Parton. I don't know what year this song came out, but that song, Jolene, I was also listening to that earlier. If you guys know the song, you know what it is. It was an awesome song, and I just love it. I can't remember what album it was on. You know, when we're in the truck, I got nothing in front of me. Everything's out of memory. But it's an awesome song. Check it out. You can go on YouTube or wherever and just listen to Dolly Parton's Jolene. But... if you're on YouTube and you want to see an awesome cover of it, Jimmy Fallon on his show every now and then, they do Subway concerts. They're supposed to be in disguise. He's done a few of them. But this one he does with Miley Cyrus. It starts off, you got this guy playing the guitar riff for the song Jolene, and another dude beating on one of those gallon buckets. So they're down there sitting there playing, and obviously people are just walking by, commuting, and not really paying attention. No one's there. You just see this guy beating on a bucket and a guy playing a guitar. So in walks Jimmy Fallon and Miley Cyrus, and they have disguises on. They have wigs and big sunglasses on. I think some people must have knew who they were, because they all started, and then it started developing in a crowd, and they were singing... Miley was singing Dolly's song, Jolene. Miley Cyrus, I can give it to her as a musical performer. I don't really care for her style of music she's chose to do, but she can sing. I can give it to this little gal. I mean, she's a beautiful little girl, but she's got a voice, and she can use it. And the way she did her rendition of Dolly Parton's Jolene was fucking amazing. I loved it. Every now and then I go back to that video and watch it and just listen to her singing. And it's just them singing. It's nothing too spectacular. Just some little microphones and a little speaker, and she nails that song. She obviously knows it just growing up with her dad, Billy Ray, and he's a country guy, so I'm sure she's heard that song a million times. I know there was something that recently they were honoring Dolly Parton, I can't remember on what, and she got to sing Jolene with Dolly Parton, so that was cool. But do look up that performance. I think it was like Jimmy Fallon, Subway, Miley Cyrus, and watch it. There's two versions. There's the one that they showed on the show, That's the shorter one, and it's a more better camera work. Whoever filmed this next one, I'm sure it was one of Jimmy Fallon's people that just filmed it with a phone, but that one's the whole long version, and it's better. They also, after they're done and they tell everyone who they are, they go into, I think, one of her songs. I don't know if it's her song, that Party in the USA or whatever that song is called, but they do that, and that's when everybody gets hyped. So check that video out on YouTube. But yeah, I'm back to my song. It's Dolly Parton's Jolene.
All right, cool. Just about to wrap this one up, but before we do, final touches. I usually leave you with a list of stuff that's streaming, but I didn't get it done in time, so I don't really have that for you. But like I mentioned earlier on Netflix, that movie Triple Frontier is out as of you hearing this. You can watch it now. Looks like it's a really cool one. I know it's actually opening in select theaters, too. I don't know. I talked about a little when we were at the gas station. Have you even heard about that, Triple Frontier? It's this new movie with Oscar Isaac, Ben Affleck, kind of like soldiers at the end of their career, and they're going to get theirs before they get out. Like, they're going to get like a big score. They're going to take down this drug lord and kind of set themselves up for the rest of their life. So they're almost going to like pull this crime at the end of their like military career.
Where are they?
Somewhere South America. I don't know, but looks cool, and it's got a lot of people in it. I know Oscar Isaac and Ben Affleck, but a ton other people too. And yeah, straight to Netflix and in some theaters. So there's that. And I actually did have written down that movie, the alien invasion movie. It's called Captive State. So there's that in theaters, and then Wonder Park. But yeah, other than that, kind of a not much out there for this weekend. But we got everything coming up with the Emerald City of Comic-Con, and I'm going to come right back at you with the NBA check-in. I saved it for this drive, so got a lot of hot topics as far as the NBA goes. Nez isn't the biggest fan, but got a couple topics for him to react on, so we'll see. Other than that, got any toppers before we get out of here?
Nah, everyone, thank you so much for listening. If you guys hear this before tomorrow, Emerald City, look for us. We'll be there, and yeah, party on.
Yep. Have fun, be safe, and we'll see you in the Emerald City.
Let's just stop it. Oh, fuck, forgot what I was going to say. And nothing important. All right, guys, peace.